Everyone out there listening, welcome to my show, The Church of the Souls Evolution. This is Blake Ruby, also known as the Reverend Blake Ruby. Let me tell you a little bit about my day so far today. I got up this morning, and my wife and I, we went to a Toastmasters meeting. Toastmasters is about public speaking, and it began at 9:30. There was about 10 people there, two people online, and it was a good time. We were thinking about quitting because that's an early time to get up on Saturday morning, you know, and there's other things to do plus sleep in. But my wife, she likes Zumba. Before joining that club, they asked us to be club coaches because the club was having some problems with membership and was going downhill. And so as per the Toastmasters regulations, we became a coach club, a club coach, and we were helping the club get back on its feet, so to speak, and that's been over a year now. And we were talking about quitting because, as I mentioned, we value our off time, you know, me especially. I work still Monday through Friday, and I work hard sometimes and like to have my Saturdays on my own. I wake up when I want to, but at the same time, when we got there and got involved with the meeting, it was a lot of fun. And it's always very interesting. Have you ever tried that? Say, just imagine yourself getting up early in the morning, going to a room where there's maybe 10, 15 people there, and you stand up and talk in front of them. Well, it's not easy. It takes a while to get going, and then after a while, you know, everyone kind of loosens up, and the laughter starts coming more, and it's not so bad after all. So I was talking with my wife as we left the meeting, and we decided that maybe we'll just, and it's the first and third Saturday of each month, and so the second and fourth Saturday, that's when she would go to the Zumba, which is usually around 11 o'clock. Anyway, I don't mind Toastmasters, even though you don't have a whole lot of time to talk, unlike my radio show when I've got an hour. And it's great because it's challenging. I know there's people out there listening. Not the same as television. And I'm still contemplating whether or not to enroll in the BBS Radio's TV program, radio and TV. But for the time being, this is perfectly sufficient for me. And there's a lot to talk about and a lot to share, to learn. Even myself, when I think back upon all the knowledge that I've gained, books that I've read on the subjects of near-death experiences, and YouTube videos, too, if you're interested, and also extraterrestrial phenomena, and they're out there, you know, this universe. It's a matter of logic, and I've mentioned this before. I'm sure you've heard me talk about it if you've listened to previous radio shows, that if all this life here on Earth happened by accident, logically it could happen by accident anywhere in the universe, and we're learning more and more each day. Besides believing that the universe is a huge place and there's life out there on different planets, I know I've bridged that gap between belief and knowledge because my logic, especially being almost 70 years old, after all these years, I've stopped believing certain things, and I know that they're true. I don't believe God is real. I know that God is real. I know there's life out there. I don't just believe there's life out there. I know there's life out there. You have to be able to bridge the gap between belief and knowledge sometimes, you know. I know that Jesus walked this earth at one time, and he performed all those miracles. I don't believe that he performed miracles. I know that he did. I know that he raised Lazarus from the dead. I know that he walked on water and he calmed the seas, and he turned water into wine, fed the people in the Sermon on the Mount, he cured lepers, and he healed the paralyzed and the blind. I know, I don't believe, I know he did. Because why would they make, for one thing, you know, you have to have a logic test and you have to have a rationale test. And as I was mentioning about life elsewhere in the universe, so if it happened by accident here, all this life, you know, so many thousands and thousands of different varieties, right? You agree? Different varieties of life, insects, reptiles, birds, amphibians, fish, in the oceans, rivers, seas, and animals. Thousands, right? All kinds of different varieties. Well, if they happen by accident, it could happen by accident. Solar system or in another galaxy elsewhere. Just a single planet, but you know, when you look up into the evening sky and you see all the stars, all those stars are actually suns. If you get a telescope, I don't know if you knew this, but you focus on one of those stars with a fairly decent telescope, you know, maybe 100, 200 power, you notice that each star is like a horseshoe, meaning that the sun is in the center, more or less, and it has planets that revolve around it. Yeah. Although they haven't officially said that each star up there is a solar system, take it from me, it is. And there are so many planets, even just in our Milky Way galaxy. But if there is a creator, like I always talk about in my radio shows, the creator of the universe, an entity, a being, if you will, that many, many billions of years ago decided to create the physical universe. Why? Because he, she, it, whatever you want to call the supreme creator, because the universe is both male and female. It's time, if you didn't realize it, it's time to start right this very second and believe and know that there is a female aspect to the creator. And part of the creator's plan was to have us be like him, her. We are co-creator gods in the making. You and I, if you have the potential to die, just think for a second. If you could possibly die at any second, I don't mean to be morbid, but let's just use logic here. If you have a brain in your head, or a heart that's beating independently of your will, and you have an expiration date sometime far into the future, I hope, then you are a co-creator God in the making. And so this life here, you were born into this planet. You remember when you were born? No. It's almost impossible, right? Well, our eyes functioning perfectly well back then, and so were our brains. Unfortunately, we can't remember back all that time. Why? Because I think because we were surviving at times being complacent, kind of everyday thing. We take things for granted. We don't really focus on the obvious. We just do what we need to survive. We have to eat. We have to sleep. And so a lot of these memories get pushed and they're forgotten, but they're not inaccessible, if you know what I mean. We can, I believe, I don't know for sure, but I believe we have, and that's one instance when I can say that I don't know for sure, that we can access those memories and remember back to the point of our birth here on planet Earth. Remember that song, Closer to Home by Grand Funk Railroad? Take me back to the point of my birth. I believe that song is actually, when you listen to the lyrics, and that's one reason why Grand Funk Railroad, the rock band, and I'm a rocker, I really am. I'm a rock star. Yes, I'm here in my patio, and I've got all the equipment around me, wireless microphones and speakers and stands. I sing my songs. I've got a repertoire of about 100 songs that I practice all the time. And then I go to my church, and I'm a member of the choir, and I take my singing ability and praise God and Jesus, and they're not as evolved as I am, I think, you know, because I'm older for one thing, but also I believe my soul's been around a while, and I don't know for sure. I can't say that. And that's, again, something that I don't know for sure because there is a thing called hypnotic progression where you can find out what your past lives were. I'm not really interested in that at this time, maybe later. Railroad, rock and roll, and all genres of music, really. But Grand Funk Railroad, I grew up with them when I was living in Guadalajara, Mexico, and going to high school there, 11th and 12th grades. I was living with my parents and can't take a drink. And I was a kind of rebellious teenager, you know. My parents, they gave me a lot of latitude when I was younger during that time and before then. And after then, we moved to San Diego after Guadalajara. But there, it's amazing. I spent 2.5 years there. Do you remember when you were in high school? Anyway, in my room, I used to have my, what was it called? Record player. And I had all these records, and a lot of them were Grand Funk Railroad. And did you know that they sold out Shea Stadium, even had more people buy tickets than the Beatles did back in 1964 when they came to America? And one of Grand Funk Railroad's best songs was Closer to Home. Everybody, listen to me and turn me my ship. I'm your captain, though I'm feeling mighty sick. And it goes on. It's a really cool song, beautiful music and, you know, instrumentation during it. The lyrics remind me of talking about what it's like to be in the womb. You know, we spent 9 months in the womb. Isn't that amazing? We were actually alive and kicking and growing in our mother's wombs. You know, our brains developed, our hearts started beating after 22 days, and different parts of our body were growing, our arms, our legs, and our brains were growing, and we could see, our eyes could see, you know, and we were being fed by the mother's, our mother's umbilical cord, and we were living in liquid, you know, in that time, for 9 months of our lives. You know, that's true. We can say that we were actually living in liquid at one time. And then we were born into this world, and the doctors pulled us out of our mother's womb, slapped us on the back. We took our first breath of air, and that began our life here on Earth. You know, all of the time, we were in touch with angels and heaven, you know. When our souls first entered our body, I don't know when I first entered my mother's womb. It could happen, from what I understand from my research, and there are some people that are very knowledgeable on this subject, you know, like psychic medium, Sylvia Brown, and then who came memory of heaven, what it was like in the pre-existence before they were born here on Earth, and they shared that knowledge. And even one book is called The Soul's Remembrance. If you want a good read, a very interesting book, The Soul's Remembrance, written by Roy Mills, is an excellent book, you know, to help you gain more spiritual knowledge, which is why we're here, my friend. Actually, we're not here to make money. The main purpose of us being here on planet Earth is to develop ourselves spiritually. When we get to believe that stuff that they tell you about eternal damnation, God, our mother and father in heaven are very loving, loving parents, you know. And yes, there is a mother God. Don't be caught in the trap, the mistake of not believing there is a mother God, because when you get there, for her presence and the Father God's presence, you're going to look very foolish all of a sudden realizing, hey, there is a Mother God. I didn't know better when I was on Earth. And now I'm standing before this beautiful female spirit, huge, powerful presence. And she's going to look at you and say in a beautiful voice, why didn't you believe in me? Isn't it logical Father God would want some woman by his side to create spirit children? I'm going to take a drink of water. And honestly, my friend, you think the Father God can create spirit children? We all have spirits in our bodies, right? That's what pops out that way. And then through that process of reincarnation, we continue our soul's evolution. And as I mentioned, when we get to heaven, now listen to this. Please don't forget this. This is very important. This is for me as well as for you. When we get to heaven, you're going to notice that you shine with a little light. You shine. Your spirit will shine depending on just how much you develop yourself spiritually, just how much your soul evolved. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Shine, shine, shine. I'm going to let it shine. Yep, your soul will shine with a particular intensity of light depending on your soul's evolution. And when you get there, you look around to all these different people with varying degrees of intensity in the shining of their own soul's light. And their spirit will light up their spirit, too. And especially when you stand in front of the Mother and Father God and other very highly esteemed, respected spirits in the spirit dimensions, the spirit realms in heaven, if you will, they, like the elders that are around the throne, Jesus, who died on the cross, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, two separate individuals, that's what I know to be true. Also, the disciples, the patriarchs of the Bible, all shine with very bright lights. So it behooves us as spirits are to increase the light of our soul. We're born into this planet with a certain intensity of light. Let's say, for example, and I've mentioned this before, a 60-degree watt bulb intensity, your soul will shine with that intensity. So you're here, and you live your life. Maybe grow to be a ripe old age of 100, if you're very fortunate, and you've grown quite a lot. And you've studied a lot of different subjects, including spirituality. You've listened to Blake's radio show. You might have your own radio show. You might, and we're all at different levels of evolution, my friend. You know, I see people believing in certain things that I believed in many, many years ago. And we shouldn't judge people for what they believe, you know, because it could change later on. They can, as they gain more knowledge, they change, they evolve. Let's say then you live to be 80, 90 years old, and your spirit pops out of your body, maybe hopefully from natural causes, or maybe, God forbid, a car accident or some kind of accident or whatever. And then you'll notice that your spirit and your soul, which is the brain of the spirit, shines with a particular light, and your hope, your goal, your objective here on planet Earth is to increase the intensity of that light that the soul shines with and lights up the whole spirit. And the spirit looks just like the physical body in many ways. You still have the senses, although they're, from what I have, a more intense, the more acute. You can see, for example, I don't really know how else to describe this, in a 360-degree view, and also in the convention, your physical. And the spirit is very mobile. It can fly. It can travel by thought alone from A to B. Or you can walk in conventional mode, or you can kind of glide along the ground when you get to the spirit dimensions. And I'm not going to talk about hell or those people that live here on Earth, you know, that walk the surface of the Earth in the spirit realm, known as ghosts who have died suddenly and violently, and they didn't have the spiritual knowledge at time to take them to a higher level. So they wander, W-A-N-D-E-R, in that dimension for something. That realm, excuse me, until they, when they are freed, then they continue their soul's journey. In other words, and it could be a prayer, it could be somebody who confronts them, somebody who knew them at one time, a relative. And we come from soul groups too, usually, when we're, from what I've understood, people I've learned from. we all gravitate to the level of evolution our soul has achieved, different groups of people. So let's say someone like Einstein or Sir Isaac or Tesla, when they passed away, they gravitated towards the soul group that they knew. Even our mothers and fathers, we've known them since ages, you know, eternity in the past. To get together on Earth. And so a lot of what we experience, the people we meet, even the accidents we have, the growing that we experience, that we achieve here on Earth, has already been predestined or, you know, worked out before we were born. Isn't that amazing? And that is known, my friends, as our mission. And we're given our mission. We're born on Earth, and the objective is to follow that mission. Well, let me rephrase that. The best thing we can do is to learn or try to learn what our mission is so that we can follow it to the best of our ability. And then when the time comes for us to transition to the afterlife, then we will have achieved, if you time. Evolution is a very slow process. Indeed, I see the people around me, like today at the Toastmasters meeting, all the different levels of evolution, you know, no one better than anyone else. Just like brothers and sisters in spirit, working our way through the universe on our soul's journey from one planet to another. And isn't this a beautiful planet? You know, I saw the sun go down a little while ago, but this world is rotating on an axis. You knew that, but we don't think about it as often. And the sun in the sky, you know. You forget the sun in a jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. Taking a drink. That power that moves this whole entire planet at about 600 miles an hour is an amazing, amazing power. And you can call it what you want. Gravity, God's power, with the Big Bang, when the universe was set in motion, one solar system after another, one galaxy after another, after so many solar systems were formed. I'm breaking it down, you know. It's real. It's true. Don't be afraid. Sometimes I look back at these things that I say on my radio show, you know. Many thanks to BBS Radio for allowing me this opportunity. And I know that it's being recorded later on. But it's also helping me to share what I know that I've learned from other people, and I can't think of anything better to do except for maybe having my own television show on the television that we watch all the time, you know. So, even though it's okay, you know, commercials, a lot of television has commercials, you know. Now I understand, you know, in a capitalist society, we have to have commercials, we have to make the money. We want money, you know. The money that I make is probably due to those commercials. You know, they can be repetitive and they're kind of demanding, kind of pushing you to buy something. That's okay. I don't mind too much. And you can always turn it off if you don't want it, don't want to listen to it. You can mute. My mother used to mute the television all the time. That was back in the 90s when I used to visit them the last few years of their lives before they passed away in 1999. I would go visit my parents in Newport Richie, Florida, Tampa area. And that was a great time. I had some, like ever before, I was still in the Army at the time, and professional development, if you will. And doing very well. I was working up the ladder. Senior non-commissioned officer, which was a great thing. I got a Bachelor of Science degree, which was also a pretty excellent accomplishment. And so my parents, they're war babies. They from World War II. Mom went through the bombing of London. My parents were English. My dad was with the British Army. And he was at Normandy and Dunkirk. So they were bitter, you know, from people trying to kill them back then. And it would make anybody bitter. And so they had PTSD, and they smoked, and they drank. And I understood. I did myself for a while. And then I broke that generational curse. That's what it's called, really, a generational curse. We were born with the knowledge, information in our cellular structure as babies of our parents and our ancestors' DNA in our cells, in other words, if you understand what I mean. And we carry that through our lifetime. And some of the things that we have to overcome, addictions, bad behavior, sexual immorality even, is in that cellular structure, and we have to find our own way. We have to walk alone and make our own decisions, take responsibility, full responsibility for our actions, which I've noticed comes when our parents pass away. That's what I determined, that we are truly responsible for our actions when our parents are no longer alive. Don't take that in a bad way, please. I'm just saying, you know, they can live like my parents to be a ripe old age. But you notice that, you know, I used to talk to my parents on the phone all the time, and they would give me advice and tell me not to do things and tell me to do things. And so I lived with that. I can't have anybody anymore except for my son, who was about 5 years old, and I had my sister, who's living in Seattle. She's 2 years older than me. God bless her, please, and help her in any way she needs it. And some relatives in England and Canada, Australia, who I was able to stay in touch with on a fairly regular basis throughout the years. But then I stopped sending Christmas cards and a letter that I used to type up every Christmas, and I don't know who's alive anymore. My one cousin, who lives in England, was the equivalent of the vice chief of staff of the Army, a four-star general. He was the commander-in-chief of the British Army's land forces, a four-star general. And we met him. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink. Excuse me. My wife and I met him. Taking another drink. In Crystal City, Virginia in 2010. And he was very down-to-earth, man. Him and his wife were easy to talk with. You would have no idea that he held such an important position when we were with him. And so he retired. He was actually the deputy to General McChrystal in Afghanistan. You remember that? That was around 2015. So a year or two later, he retired. And I had stayed in touch with him. My son sometimes reaches out, sends him an email. Anyway, in the subject, back to the power that also revolves it around the sun. Isn't that an amazing power to take for granted? And, you know, one shouldn't get too carried away in some of this stuff, you know, this knowledge that we talk about sometimes, and it can be like, ooh, and one can get these subjects, but it's the truth. And don't you know, we live in a world of confusion, right? As we make our way throughout in the centuries and arts, there's a lot of confusion as to what is not true. And never so more has it been apparent to me than in our politics. You never know some of these politicians who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. And they have fact checks, you know, kind of swept underneath the rug. You never know exactly what the truth is. And the truth will set us free. If we're really interested in finding out the truth, you know, like how many extraterrestrials are out there? First of all, are we alone in the universe? What is the truth in that regard? Well, I mentioned to you about bridging the gap between belief and knowledge. And I know that there is life out there. I would like to meet some of it, you know. Humanoid extraterrestrials, so many different types out there, you know. And I've had contact with Earth in years, in the past, throughout the centuries, all the way back to Egyptian times, you know. I mentioned this in some previous. Just think about all different civilizations we've had on Earth. And the first human beings on Earth, contrary to what the Bible says, with Adam and Eve, which, in my opinion, which I'm entitled to, and I know to be true, and we all have our opinions, and you can believe what you want to believe in and know what you think you want to know. But Adam and Eve is a myth perpetuated by the people who created the Bible, who wrote the Bible in order to subjugate the people, oppress them in the interest of making money and having power over the people. The first human beings on Earth were from a planet in our Milky Way galaxy called Bacchaterini. I mentioned this before, a yellow race and a black race. The black race settled in Australia, the yellow race in China, Burma, and India. And then there have been white races that settled in Atlantis and Lemuria and other races. And they intermingled and bred. And the Muslim race in the Middle Eastern area is the result of the yellow and black races mating in those many years in the past. And so that was approximately 1.6 million years ago. Don't believe what they say that the Earth is 5 or 4 billion years old, and the Sun also. When they use those numbers, it just boggles the mind. I think that's their purpose, to press upon us how knowledgeable they are. This is okay, I understand, but they don't always tell the truth, and they have a tendency to exaggerate some numbers. Take it from me, the Earth, planet Earth, is about 1.5 million years old. And that still is a pretty long time. You agree? Yeah. I mean, I'm almost 70 years old. And let's think of 1.5 million years old. This planet that I'm looking out over right now, I see the sky, I see the clouds, I see all the trees behind our backyard. That's been in existence at one time or another. I mean, maybe, you know, the trees formed after the reshaping of the Earth happened several times or more in the past, you know, and there might have been like maybe 20,000 years ago, not the same kind of configuration around San Antonio. It might have been underneath the ocean. And maybe some continents came up at that time that didn't exist before. Atlantis submerged. Lemuria submerged after the last reshaping of the Earth's surface about 15,000 years ago. But my point is, all this, planet Earth, the trees, the clouds, it's beautiful. It happened. And in our future, we will see more reshaping of the Earth's surface, maybe not in our lifetime, for different reasons like asteroid strikes, or maybe I've heard that when the neighboring solar system gets too close, there's a planet that affects the gravitational pull of Earth and will cause the Earth to stop rotating on axis. Earthquakes break out all over the planet, understandably so. And if any people survive, very few do. So I was talking about humanoids. There's many different types of humanoids in our galaxy. You need to look at, if you're interested and you want to learn and develop your soul and develop yourself spiritually, there are many fantastic, wonderful videos on YouTube made by some people called Gaia, G-A-I-A, and which means Mother Earth. It's another name for Mother Earth, which is a living cosmic being in her own right, alive, my friends. Trees are alive. All this life, plant and animal life, it's alive. It's a different type of life, but it's still alive, you know. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The animal and plant life throughout the universe is the second force that was initiated by the Creator, the Supreme Creator, Creator of the universe. Thank you for everything. You are awesome. I love you. You love me too? Yes. I got that instant reply. The Creator of the universe is omnipotent and omniscient. Even someone as small and insignificant. Oh, I shouldn't really say that because I know I am significant. You are too to the Creator of the universe, because you are one of the works in progress. Eventually, you will assimilate all your experience and knowledge into the ocean of the Creator Spirit like a drop of water to give the Creator what he, she needs, which is growth, my friends, growth. There's nothing greater in the universe than growth. We have achieved it ourselves, being babies once and then growing to be adults. Have we not achieved growth? Question mark. Everyone agree? Raise your hands. Give me a hallelujah. Growth. There's nothing greater in the universe than growth, and that is what we are doing for the Creator of the universe. We are adding to the Creator's overall growth by our life. So we are microcosms of the universe experiencing for the Creator. Isn't that amazing? And all this was put into motion many billions of years ago by the Creator, who at one time was the only thing that existed. Nothing else existed except for darkness and silence. And we can be like the Creator. We can be co-creator gods. I mentioned this earlier on in the show. Co-creator gods in the making. And what does that mean when you've achieved that level of spiritual development of our soul's evolution? I'm going to take a drink. It means just like buying land here on planet Earth, maybe here in Texas, having your own piece of land, building your house, raising children. You too. Now, I know this might be a stretch for some people, believe it or not. You too can have a piece of infinite space. Isn't that boggling, mind-boggling for me to think about infinite space? What does that mean? It means that the borders of space, the outer edges of the universe, are constantly expanding, and new space and solar systems are being formed. Every star in the evening sky, my friends, is commanded by a mother and father God, co-creator God, which we are aspiring to ourselves, who at one time in their soul's evolution lived on planets like Earth, like we are doing at this time, and maybe multiple planets. It's possible for a soul to have lived 50, 100 past lives. We just can't remember, because we were born into this world as babies, and we went through what is known as the River of Oblivion, where the memories of our past lives were erased. Why, you ask? Good question. So that we could grow and develop on this planet and learn the basic social values to love and respect. Kill each other like we've been doing in the past. But it's a slow process. It's actually like kindergarten, going through school. We have to start out somewhere, right? Planet Earth is like a kindergarten, if you will. And the killing and the fighting is to be expected as we reach different levels of evolution. And hopefully, when we leave this planet and spend some time in heaven, and acquainting ourselves with that pre-existence that we were a part of, and then enjoying the activities there for a while, and then deciding eventually to move on to being born on another planet, if that's what we so decide, depending on our soul's evolution. Some people might not reincarnate again. They might be happy to stay where they are, depending on how much evolution they have achieved. But most spirits and souls decide to develop themselves sufficiently enough to be a co-creator god, which eventually happens. They reincarnate again on another planet. They find one. There's plenty of wonderful technology. I use quotation marks around the word technology in heaven. You better believe it. They've got computers there that will blow your mind when you get there, that have information on all the different scenarios of lifetimes that you could use in your soul's evolution, different planets, different stages of evolution. Planet Earth is a category one planet on a scale of 1 to 9, whereas 9 is the most highly developed, you know, where the spirituality and technology is the highest level, whereas Earth is a category one, which means this is otherwise known as a planet of sorrows, unfortunately. There's a lot of sadness that goes on planet Earth, right? A lot of war and killing. And even today, there's still war going on. Think about all the Palestinians that have been killed as a result of that October 7th event. Disproportionate amount of people that revenge has claimed in the name of revenge, which is not fair, but it's typical of planet Earth and what has happened before in the past. But we need to break that generational curse, if you will. And talking about it is one way to do it. Myself, I know I don't want to come back to a planet like this and experience the killing again. Do you? I'm going to take a drink. Are you happy seeing the images on television of the women and children slaughtered? They don't show you everything. CNN, who we watch a lot of, my wife loves CNN, they'll say, now, we warn you that these images are very graphic, and we really had to think long and hard about showing you this, what you're about to see. But they don't show you everything, the real, stark reality, the truth, where women and children are bloody masses on the ground. You know, nothing, their bodies blown up into pieces. People dying, strewn with bullets in their bodies. You know, bleeding out their blood on the ground. That's happening right now as we speak. Through rockets and tank rounds and machine gun bullets and assault rifle bullets and other weaponry, you know. You get what I'm saying? It's still happening. Even after all these years, we haven't learned to live in harmony, which is one of the missions that we're born. I think every single soul is born into this world to achieve peace. It's not too difficult. All we have to do is pray. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I learned from a near-death experience. Please don't forget this. You won't forget this, will you? And this came from God, the Father God himself. These words were spoken to a man who had a near-death experience and stood in front of the presence of the Father God. Usually male spirits encounter the Father God. Female spirits, male and the Father and the Mother God as well. We all do. We could experience the Mother God. It doesn't happen too often with near-death experiences. I think that one of the reasons why is because some people aren't really prepared to take it at this time. Their level of evolution can't handle that kind of truth. But anyway, and sometimes the Mother and Father God, Earth, there, and the Spirit, the blending of spirits, is the words, and therefore, and we are aspiring That's how it happens, my friend. I learned that from other people, books that I read. To me, it's taken it to another level, but it all depends if you believe that tomorrow might not be here for us. You know, we live in, like Prince said in the song 1999, everyone's got a bomb. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. I don't want to bring that up, you know, and be morbid about it, but it's a reality. It's the truth. But who of all of us, in other words, to learn as much as we can? Well, let me develop ourselves as much as we can spiritually and help our soul to evolve to a higher level, you know, increase the intensity of the lamp in our soul. And there'll always be planets like this. It's like I mentioned a kindergarten. And we have to graduate and move on to another higher level of learning, a higher love, if you will. The Category 2 planet out there is where there's not any fighting anymore or killing. When people learn to live more in cooperation with each other and there's no competition so much anymore. Category 3 might be a higher level of the spirit dimensions and then all the angels and deceased relatives and have ceremonial celebrations where they kind of bring that Holy Spirit feeling to a higher level, if you know what I mean. Category 4, 5, 6 planets until you achieve one day, hopefully, a Category 9 planet. Being born onto a planet like that, you will find just a beautiful atmosphere possible in the spirit, in the physical realm. And the waters are pristine and pure, not defiled by pollution. Trees grow to be, they'd be several hundred feet above the ground. Animals don't eat each other. The air, of course, is pure, and the intensity of the colors there is amazing. Just like in heaven, one thing you'll notice, or we'll notice when we get to heaven, is that the colors there bright and earth, and from what I heard, there's even some colors that are different that we haven't seen here on Earth. And only the most evolved souls go there. And then when you do achieve that level of evolvement on a planet like that, there's really one of the things, one of the main things I do is help the planets of a lower, lesser evolutionary category. And so planet Earth is actually under the guardianship, if you will, of a superior level of evolution planet out there. Planet Earth is under the guardianship of a planet known as Thiouba, T-H-I-A-O-U-B-A. And these extraterrestrials are approximately 9 feet tall, both male and female, like transgender, otherwise known as hermaphrodites. Yes, we do live in a universe of male and female, and that's all the more reason not to get on the cases of the transgender or homosexual people, because the homosexuals are the people born into this world, usually, in most cases, 9 out of 10, with a spirit of the opposite sex in that body. So male spirit in the female body, female spirit into a male body, for the purpose of helping making this world a better place and helping us to love each other. We've got to learn to love each other. And haven't they come a long way over the years? Now there's gay marriage, and they have their rights. They didn't at one time, right? So that is evolution. That is progress. And what they do behind their own doors, you know, as with anything, even smoking pot or taking drugs, I believe, in my opinion, is not anyone's business other than our own. We should be freedom, to do what we want to do and learn from our mistakes. We are all separate individuals, meant to walk alone, just like Madonna said in that song of hers called just like a prayer, you know, we're meant to walk alone. Yes, we are part of families and we are parts of groups and clubs and organizations, but can you just imagine, if you will, on the day that you die, and I die, whether you're going to be cremated or buried, you're still going to be on your own. You won't be a part of that group anymore. You'll be going back to where you came from. And, you know, I like talking about this stuff. It has helped me internalize it. So, for myself, can I get an applause out there? Some people, please, give me some applause for having the courage to talk about the subjects that I do on my radio show. I'm just, and I know I'm helping to make the world a better place, because whether you're within hearing of my words as I speak over the radio waves, or just speaking these words, you've heard of, there's a song that we sing in our gospel choir, speaking into the atmosphere. And the principle behind that is the words that we use, believe it or not, are actually going out into the atmosphere and changing things for the better or for the worse. That's why it's important to choose your words carefully. It behooves all of us to speak positive negativity, right? You promise you'll do that? I'm getting down here in time. Be positive. It's hard. I know. It's hard. But you were co-creator gods in the making. I respect that, you know. You don't like being told what to do. You are your own individual self. You know, you have your ego, and I respect that. But we all learn from each other, whether or not you realize it. We are in this together. We are parts of the whole, you know. Break off to go do our individual thing. Same with the soul, you know, and all the past lives and all the future lives that you'll have as we go forward. And let me just say, planet Earth is a beautiful planet. It's a jewel of the universe. That's why we've had so much extraterrestrial intervention in our past, because they, all the humanoid and different types, the grays, like the extraterrestrials in Thayuba, you know, transgender, hermaphrodite, some that are kind of like light beings, they're so advanced, and all these different planets in our galaxy and other galaxies, they know the deal. A lot of them have evolved from Category 1 planets, you know, where there was war and killing before, and I don't want to come back. I said that before. I don't want to come back to a planet. Well, I'll take that back. I just realized something. Like Jesus, who died on the cross, came from a higher category of planet. And kind of like an avatar, right? I've said this before on previous radio shows, where they slip their astral beings into a body. In that case, you know, a human body, just like an avatar, right? You get it? You get it? And so imagine, if you will, think of the movie Avatar, the Marine that put his spirit inside the human body and moved it around. You know what I mean? Well, spirits, highly evolved astral being from the planet Thaouba, put his spirit inside a body made by the great elders there on the planet Thaouba. And it takes a lot of knowledge and care to make a human body, my friends. There's different parts to it. That's been done with a lot of care and knowledge and communication, connection, coordination with the spirit realm. And so his soul was put, an astral being, put into that human body that walked around for those 3 years of ministry. He couldn't have performed the miracle. Bethlehem didn't, when, as I mentioned, went through that river of oblivion with all the memories of past lives erased and all the knowledge that would have been necessary to have performed all the miracles that he performed erased, so that the Jesus that was born on the planet Thaouba, in the astral being and the body of a man by the name of Arioch, and was brought under the cover of night, close to the Sea of Galilee. The first thing he had to do was be baptized by John the Baptist. It's a long story, my friends. I could spend another hour to tell you all about it. And I believe I have more knowledge about that than anyone else. So if anyone wanted to debate that with me, feel free to call the next radio show next week. If you want to debate who Jesus really was, or, you know, share knowledge, be my guest, please. Feel free to call in. I've got 30 seconds, so I love you. Thank you for listening. May the creator of the universe bless you, bless all of us, and help us in any way we need it, and help stop war. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.